Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
It's good that you came to church, but how you come to church is a big deal. Your level of expectancy and being ready and willing to grow and learn is really, really important. And for those of you who want to know how to maybe see if this is the church family for you, if you want to know if this is the church family for you, we do a thing called discovery. And it's not just some little get to know your church thing. We get serious in it. We get for real in it. And we walk through teaching and different things. So if you would like to find out about what discovery looks like, it's a 4-week kind of class. It has some online stuff and then in-person stuff for you to kind of grow and see, man, is this the church for me? But if you're not, if you're not sensing some invitation to like take a step and take a step to growth, if you're just kind of wanting to sit back and just be a spectator, discovery is not for you. But if you want to get out of the bleacher and get onto the court, discovery is for you. If you want to get out of the nosebleeds and maybe come down to you know, closer to the court, discovery's for you. And you can, you know, make whatever decision you need to. Some people go through discovery and say, you know what, this is not the church family for me. Appreciate it, but I'm going somewhere else. So whatever, you know, but if you want to be led into some action and making a decision, discovery is the thing for you. How many of you that have been through discovery, honestly, if it's not honest, don't say it. You'd honestly say, yeah, I would agree with that. That's what discovery did for me. Say amen. So right after church, we're going to meet right here in these two middle sections, and I'm going to give you some a little bit more information. It'll be about 20 minutes, 30 max, because I'm a long-winded preacher, but try to keep about 20 minutes, and you can bring your kids and everybody in here, and if you want to learn about discovery to find out if this is a time for you to get into discovery, we will have online teaching, and then like the first week, you come to our house. We love bringing people into our house. Sarah will be a great hostess. I'm going to be okay on that. So it's just a great time for you to come be a part of that. So right after church, you can get plugged in to that. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited to share with you some things, today. So here's what I want you to do. Make sure you get your sermon notes. We're going to jump into those in just a second, but I'm going to go ahead and receive our tithes and offerings because it's a big deal. It's a big deal when people get a revelation of what giving is. Giving is not paying taxes. Giving is not just throwing a little tip into the bucket or just giving a little tip to God. Giving and tithing is relational. It's not transactional. It's relational. And those who have walk in relationship with the Lord and you align your money into God's way, it's a game changer. It's a life changer. It changes things. A lot of people want the blessing of the Lord without relationship with the Lord. You can't have the Lord's blessing and do it your way. This ain't Burger King. You can't do that. Okay? Christ the King says, I am blessed and I have a blessed way of doing things. And if you will walk in partnership and relationship with me, then you will walk in the blessing of the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord will change your life, change your business, change everything. How many people can say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. So I want ushers to go ahead and come on up and we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you that you are good and your mercy endures forever, God. We honor you for being our provider. We honor you for all that you've done, all the gifts that you've given us, all the opportunities, Father, the wisdom that you give us, the strength that you give us, the divine relationships and partnerships, how you connect us into different relationships. We thank you for your sovereign work in this life. And Father, we pray your peace and wisdom over every household and every family, that those who are needing a revelation about how to be a good steward, Lord, that revelation will be released. Those who need correction, Lord, we pray that correction will be released to them. Those who need pruning in order to have preparation for more fruit, God, we pray that pruning will happen in this season so that next season they will be fruitful beyond their wildest imagination. And so, Father, we just thank you. We honor you. We bring our tithes to you because you received them, and we bring our offerings to you and pray you to multiply them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Oh, thank you. I forgot an announcement. So we have middle school. See, middle school, I don't know what happens between the sixth and the eighth grade. I know this. The meanest women on the planet are eighth grade girls. No question. I'd rather fight Goliath than an eighth grade girl. You know, and, you know, something happens in middle school. It's like they just, I don't know what happens. So we have a few people that are in our youth ministry that they have a class over here. Where there's Zach right there. And so any middle schoolers in the room, sixth through seventh or sixth through eighth grade, is how we roll with that. If you want to be excused from this room and go receive some teaching with people of your kind, then you can go with Zach. Zach's right over here. Zach, wave your hand. Let everybody see you. Any middle schoolers, parents, you can trust them. Zach is not another middle schooler. He's actually an adult. And you can send your kids over there. They're going to learn. Him and, you know, Sean are going to teach them and stuff. So middle schoolers, you can go. They meet. Hey, what Sundays do you normally meet? Hey, don't be talking to Chris about nothing. He don't need to know nothing about me. Chris is not even allowed in the middle school room. So the second and fourth Sunday mornings, that's when middle school usually meets over right in the room right around the corner. And so they can always go over there and hang out and stuff like that. All right. Bless y'all. Be good and God's good. All right. Go. Get your sermon notes out and open up to Genesis chapter 1. So we've been talking about this series starting in December about He is. And it's really important to understand who He is. Remember the scripture we started with? This is not in your notes, but we started when we were looking at this series. We started about Matthew 16, where Jesus told His disciples, He asked them this question. He asked the disciples two questions. He said, who do the people you hang with? Who do Pookie and them say I am? Who do the people you run with say that I am? And so they were like, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say this, some say that, you know, one of the prophets. And so He was filtering, asking this question. And remember, Jesus always asks questions, not because He's confused, because whoever He's talking to is confused. So He's not asking questions so He can learn. He will ask questions so we can learn. And so He asked them and says, who do the people you run with, basically, that's not the official Greek, but it's close. Who do the people you run with say that I am? Because He knows this. He knows the opinions of those of the people around you can blind you. So who do the people you run with say that I am? And then He asked a very important question. Then He says to them, who am I to you? And that's what this whole series about He is, talking about the names of God, why it's so important, because it gets to the root of who am I to you? Every person in this room, you have to answer that question. Who is He to you? You can say He's not God. You can say He's a mythological person. You can say Jesus is a lunatic. He's a liar. You say whatever you want, because who He is to you is who He is to you. Who He is to you is not who He is. It's who He is to you. And I want who He is to me to actually line up with who He actually is. Because Jesus, so in that question, what he went on to do in Matthew 16 is He said, who am I to you? And then there's this time, we don't know how long it was, and then Peter steps up and says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, meaning Pookie and them didn't tell you that. You didn't get that off social media. That was not a revolving or echoing opinion of somebody else. That just came as you opened to listen to the question, the Holy Spirit. That's not from flesh and blood. That came from my Father. And my Father revealed to you who I am, which is key. Because then Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He said, He was like, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My Father revealed that to you. And He went on to say, and you are Peter, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now, the rock is the rock of revelation. So He's going to build, Jesus is building a church, building a people who can hear from the Holy Spirit who Jesus is. Because once you know who Jesus is and you operate at the level where you're hearing and receiving, to know who he is, then you are ready to receive the revelation from him to tell you who you are. That's why Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus was kind of like, "Man, about time. I don't know if you're ever going to answer that." And said, "Now, Peter, let me tell you who you are. You are Peter, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, give you the keys of the kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the revelation of who you are, my people." Because Jesus is not building, the church is not the building. I thank God for this building, but the church is not the building. The church is always, and I say this all the time, if this is the first time that you are hearing me say this, you better be a first-time guest or have a doctor's excuse for the amnesia. You better be like, "Oh yeah, amen, I know this." That the church is not the building. The church is the people that Jesus is building. And he's building people that know who he is and who he is inside of them. That's the church. You don't find your identity in the world. You don't find your identity in politics. You don't find your identity on social media. You should be releasing your identity on social media. You don't find your identity, I'm just going to talk for a minute, you don't find your identity in your gender. You don't find your identity in the color of your skin. You don't find your identity in which neck of the woods you was raised in or what your family pedigree or name is in. All those are earthly things that are temporary realities. The highest reality is who are you spiritually. You are either born again or you have not been born again. You are either made alive in Jesus. You are one. You're a child of God or you're a creation of God. Not every creation of God is a child of God. Everybody on the planet is a creation of God. But only the sons of God, by grace through faith in Christ, have become children of God. And you got to know who he is to know who you are. Man, all that leads up to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. See, if you're a real awesome Bible student, you ain't got to look at it. Because you know what Genesis chapter 1 says. In the beginning, God created the heavens, plural, and earth. In the beginning, God. See, I want to talk to you about some of the names of God. And today, specifically, what we're going to focus in is, he is my Lord. He is my Lord. Who he is to you, who he is to you, will determine who he is through you. I'm telling you that right now. Who he is to you will determine who he is through you. But you want to make sure who he is through you and who he is to you matches accurately who he really is. Because we can all make a God of our own making, and we make God look like us instead of us looking like him. And so this thing in Genesis 1 is in the beginning God. I love how the scriptures start with it. So it's the word Elohim. And guys, I could get into a bunch of rabbits and a bunch of deep weeds talking about a lot of different neat, interesting things, some Jewish traditions and some other things about the names of God, but we ain't got time for that. So I'm going to walk through a few of the names of God today, and we'll keep talking about some things as we go into the next few weeks. But the name of God is Elohim, and it means God. It means the all-powerful God. It can speak to an angel or a ruler, like even a human being. Someone, and it's the plural name of a ruler or some kind of ruler, and it speaks to a position. It speaks to a position and a title. It's Elohim. Everybody say Elohim. It's a plural name, and it's the first name of God in Scripture. If you look at your notes, it's the first name of God in Scripture. It's a plural name, and it foreshadows the revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's three in one. And it foreshadows that, and in the name, it speaks to that. We're three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so in this, that's his name. And his name is talking about the position. So he holds this position. I used to love how Rick Clendenin would say this all the time. He said, there's two positions in the kingdom of heaven. One is king, Lord, and the other is servant. The first one's occupied. We can't be that. Okay? But under his delegated authority, we can operate as servants and ambassadors of Christ. So he is Lord. He is the Elohim. He is the Almighty. He is the all-powerful one. It's Elohim is the position of God. And certain people of certain, you know, other cultures or whatever, you could use the word, you know, Elohim or the word that speaks to that. And you could use it to talk about a false god. It's talking about a person who you say is God. Whoever you say is God, it's the position of that person. And he should be first. He should be the highest. He should be first. And so Elohim is this is God, but it speaks to the position or title. And you see all these scriptures you can look up on your own just looking at the plurality of the nature of God. You can study that out on your own. The second name is El Elyon. El Elyon. El Elyon. I think that's how you pronounce it. And it means God most high. Like, it ain't no high like the most high. You know, it's God most high, and it means the supreme ruler of all the universe. His dominion is all-encompassing and everlasting. So you see this first used in Scripture with Melchizedek. Genesis 14, 18. I put it right there in your notes. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. This was to Abram. Brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God most high. And so this is talking about not just Elohim, God who holds this position, but he's God most high. So I want you to see this in his name, because I'm going somewhere with it. I'm going to land somewhere with it. But I want you to see that a lot of times in Scripture, you'll see the name in English, God, and it's Elohim. And then you have the Most High God. And then look in Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to see this, since we're just right there next to 1. I want you to see this. Man, I love hearing the Bible pages turn. That just excites me. I know I got to come up to technology and figure out how the internet works. But this is, I love hearing your Bible pages turn. So just look in verse 4 for sake of time. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So that word Lord, you see it's all capitalized. Most of your Bibles will have a capital all the way through this word Lord. Now, we'll see in a minute, you'll see another time where the word Lord is a capital L, but the O-R-D is not capitalized, and that's speaking to another name. And I'll show you that here in a second. But this is Lord God. So we start in Genesis 1, where God, which is Elohim. So now we have Lord God, Lord Elohim. And so this, if you turn your notes over, this is the word Jehovah or Yahweh. Yahweh Jehovah speaks to the same name. And there's lots of rabbit holes we could, you know, or rabbits we could chase on this about the name of God, how it was so holy that they could not pronounce the name. It was just simply said as YHWH because there's no consonants in it and they couldn't say the name. And so lots of different rabbit trails going, but this is the holy name of God. And in this holy name of God, of Jehovah, because Jehovah is the same name as Yahweh, and there's arguments about it, but most scholars believe the right way to say it would be, the best way to say it would be Jehovah or Yahweh, but it's speaking to the same name. And so when we see in that verse, Genesis 2:4, we see that the Lord God. And so we're building on Elohim. The scriptures start with Elohim. Here's the one that has this position. And we know he's the most high in that position. And then it builds and it says that Melchizedek is the priest of the Lord God, which means Jehovah Elohim. And Jehovah Elohim, this word Jehovah or Yahweh Elohim, on your notes you can see it. It means Lord. And it's in the most Bibles will have, anytime it references Yahweh or Jehovah, it will have the word Lord all capitalized. And you can kind of know, that's a quick reference, that it's talking about Jehovah, which is really important. It's his holy name. Scribes, every time they would write the name, the tradition says that they would stop and they would go pray and they would go say the blessing of the Lord and change clothes and be cleansed and come back and write his name. That's why we don't take the name of the Lord our God in vain. It's honoring His name. That's the greatest privilege our lives can have. Some of you think, man, I work for this company. That name of that company is on your, I work for this company, or I play for this team, or I go to this school, or I wear this brand, I got this name kind of car. We all live by labeling and branding with names. Some of you are like, oh, I got to go to that real fancy church. What's that? Oh, Faith Center. I got to go to that real fancy church. Names and brands. We get that. But think about this. Out of all the names and all the brands and all the things you could wear or drive or use, we get a name that is above every other name. And we need to honor that name, not just the position of the name. The position is Elohim. But the person of that name, Jehovah, is the Lord, and it's the proper name of God, which speaks to the self-existent, eternal, and ever-present person of God, who is in covenant relationship with His people. And also, some people call the name Hashem, which means the name. And if you look down at another name, I just want to throw this one in there, El Elyon, which you see in Genesis 21:33, which speaks to the eternal, everlasting God. It's kind of right there, second cousin to Jehovah. But what I want you to see is Elohim is the position and the title, but Jehovah is the person. And so you have an eternal title that an eternal person has. Why is that important? Because every promise that is ever made is only as good as the person who promises. We have a never-changing God as we live in an ever-changing world. I am the God, Malachi says, I am the Lord thy God. I do not change. He's not a man that he should lie. Things change, but he doesn't. Because he has the position that is eternal and unceasing. He unceasingly reigns. He unceasingly leads. He unceasingly works. He's unceasingly at work. And so that's his title. That's his title. His person is Jehovah. So we would say John, the pastor. The pastor is the position, but John is the person holding that position. So Jehovah Elohim is Jehovah, the eternal person, the holiest name of God, some would argue. That some believers and Jews would say that it's unholy and disrespectful to even try to pronounce that name. But that's the name we've been given that's above every other name, and we bear that name. We carry that name. We represent that name in our life. For every disciple of Christ, there is no name that you wear, that you ride. There is no name that should be higher than His name. There's no society, there's no group, there's no movement, there's no justice, there's no political thing, there's nothing that is more important than your allegiance and obedience to the name of God. I love our nation. And my opinion is, if you don't love the nation, go find one you do love. I love this nation, but I'm telling you, I don't live for this nation. Some of us, if we were picked up out of this nation and moved to another nation, some of you would lose your discipleship and lose your faith in God, and you would spiral out of control because the name of this nation is more important to you than the name of God. So what happens is sometimes we'll serve God as long as he keeps our other names in order. And so the reality is we want to have Elohim and then Jehovah, which is the name above every other name, and it's his person. And so what that means is he is personally present. In this position, Jehovah is personally present to be the one to sustain the covenant. So the title doesn't sustain the covenant promises. The person does. That's why your Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, that all the promises of God, meaning all the covenant promises of God, find their yes and amen, not in Elohim, but in Jehovah, which manifests as Jesus. And that all the promises of God find their yes and basically amen in him. He's the person that fulfilled the promise that the position authorized. Because all the covenant promises is person to person. It's person to person. God's covenant is not person to structure. God's covenant is not person to a thing. God's covenant is person to person. Like if you happen to lose your cell phone and came into the church freaking out, where's my cell phone? Oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. God will help you out and get the pastor up to go find the cell phone. So all pieces are stored into her kingdom. And so it's person to person. So here's what you need to know. Jesus made it possible through his sacrifice and his death for you. When you were his enemy, he made it possible through giving his life. He personally gave his life so that your person could be reconciled to the person of God, the Father, who is Jehovah Elohim. See, there was a time that we had. So think about God's position, and then God created Adam, and Adam would be right here. So God's position, his authority, and then God's person created one like him in his likeness and in his image. But then Adam fell. And when Adam fell from partnership of that position, no longer connected to the delegated authority of that position. And his sin separated him from the fellowship and relationship with that person. So sin disconnects you from your delegated partnership and connection to the highest position. And sin disconnected you and broke the fellowship and relationship of your connection with the person. So now, then in Genesis, with the fall of man, you have God's position and God's person, and then you have man's position and man's person. And what Jesus did is he left this position, still had the position, but he's still God and he's the Son of God, but he came down to our position, even for Steeler fans. Yeah. Hey, I know. And you a big dude, so I'm gonna be careful. But came down to our position. And what he did is he reconciled person back to person. Here, come with me. He reconciled person back to person. And then this is what he does. I'm gonna do it this way. You stand right there. So you're in the world, but through our partnership, you're no longer of the world. So my will, my authority in Elohim, the position, now moves in your position. It's partnership. My person in your person. My position in your position. Elohim, or Yahweh, Elohim. That make sense? You can go sit down. Thank you. So the fourth one is the word Adonai. Adonai means my Lord and my master. And if you look over in Genesis 15, and this name of Adonai, my Lord, my master, the name implies a covenant relationship. So this is how you would speak it. It would be Lord, meaning Jehovah, God, Elohim, is my Adonai. So what he does in that little position, and turn to Genesis 15, that's where we're going. So what Jesus made it possible to do is for us to be able to come in covenant relationship through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, for us to be able to come into relational covenant partnership with God and be able to say, Jehovah Elohim is my Adonai, my master. Does that make sense? So here's how we see that happening in Genesis 15. God gave all these promises to Abram. This is where it's really hard not to teach you the whole Bible on this stuff. But Genesis 15, now after these things, man, that's such a huge phrase because I could talk for 2 hours about these things. So after these things, the word of the Lord. So the word of Yahweh. Notice that. The word of the Lord. So what he's saying is it's not the word of Elohim. Because it's not bad to say the word of Elohim. The word of Elohim is there's a letter sent from home office. The word of Yahweh is he's personally present speaking. So the word of Yahweh, the word of the Lord, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield. So he's saying Yahweh, the ever-present one, the self-existent one, the unceasing one, the eternal one, I am your shield. I am your shield. Do not be afraid. Why? Jehovah, who holds the position of Elohim, is your shield. And your shield is three layers deep. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three dimensions deep. He says, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. And but Abraham said, now watch this. So Abraham said, Lord God. Now, this is interesting because Lord here is Adonai. God here is Yahweh. So, Yahweh Elohim showed up and spoke all these things. And then in response, Abraham's response was, Adonai Yahweh. Meaning, I'm not surrendering. I'm not responding to just a position and a title. I'm offering my person to your person. My person comes now to say to your person, this is covenant relationship, comes to your person, Adonai, my master, my Lord, who basically what it says is who is Jehovah. Person to person. Is your faith person to person or is it person to policy? Is your faith person to person or is it person to procedure or principle? The principles of God are true and right, but are you following a principle or are you following the person who set that principle? Are you going after a promise that a position is giving you? Are you following a promise? Are you seeking a promise to be fulfilled that is authorized by a position? Or are you seeking a promise that has been made to you from a person who holds the position, but they are personally present within that position, speaking to you person to person, saying, I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. What we're going to get into is I am your Jehovah Jireh. Because that means I am Jehovah, your personal covenant provider. And all the names of God that we're going to look at after this point overflow what I'm saying to where he is personally, he has the position and the title, but he is personally present to bring about his covenant promises in our life. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, our healer. That's who he is. He's not a distributor of healing. He's not an Amazon warehouse that has a bunch of stuff that came from other places and he has to go see if he's got the inventory, is it in stock, so he can send it to you. He's not a distributor. He is the source. So it's always in stock. And Jesus gave you an account. That's not free, but it's paid in full. So he is Adonai. And in Genesis, you know, let's go to Exodus. Exodus 3. Gosh, I could stay on Genesis for a while. But go to Exodus 3. Make a right to Exodus. Oh, Lord. You know, y'all didn't know this, but the media team, they ain't right. They fast forward that clock every Sunday morning. Man, that's why I put this in your notes. I don't have time to go through all this, but look at just verse 6. This is where God, many generations later, after Abraham said Adonai and Jehovah and all that stuff, many generations later to the descendants of Abraham, God now appears to Moses at the burning bush. And this is what God said in verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God Elohim. I am the God of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. So what he's saying is, I have the authority. Watch this. What he's saying is, because of the faith of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you are part of their lineage. Watch this. I want to illustrate this. Let me get somebody up close, a dad. Let me get a dad. I don't care, just a father. Father, come up here. I don't care. Yeah, come on up. No, somebody who's more saved. No kidding. Come on up. So, me talking to your son, Buddy Joe, because of my relationship with you and the faith that we operate in, and you would say to me, Adonai, Jehovah Elohim. And that's who I am to you. I'm your master. I'm your eternally present covenant God. That's who I am to you. So we walk through stuff. We do stuff. I'm working in and through you. Your life goes on. Your faith legacy now is here. And now I'm over here talking to your son. And there's been lots of the enemy working in between and stuff happening in between. And so what I promise you, I didn't just promise you. I also promised him. So now I'm showing up to him because he needs to get his stuff straight. Just like you had to get your stuff straight. Yeah. And so as I show up to him, here's how I show up to him. I am the Elohim. I am the Elohim of your daddy. What that means is he recognized my position and my title and my authority, which now gives me the authority to come into his bloodline and say, what I promised him was actually promised to you, you moron. I mean, dear one, and I'm coming in my authority, offering you a covenant partnership, if I will be, because I'm not only the one who's got the papers and the title, I also have the eternal personal presence. And I don't need to, nothing will ever be out of stock. It's always in stock. And you can, if I become your Adonai, you get an account. You can go sit down. Thank you. So he shows up to Moses at the burning bush and he's saying, I am the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whew. And then he walks through a bunch of cool stuff I ain't going to look at. I'll preach a whole nother sermon. And then you skip down to verse, it's all Elohim, but go down to verse 14. And God said to Moses, and Elohim said to Moses, notice, he did all this stuff. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now he's coming up with his pitch. And now I'm saying to you, Elohim is now saying, he starts with Elohim, the title, the authority, the position. So he comes and Elohim says to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And this is where Moses was saying, who am I going to say that came is sending us? And he said, you say, I am who I am. He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God, Elohim, said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel. You shall say to the children of Israel, and watch this, Lord God, Yahweh, meaning Jehovah Elohim of your fathers. Notice how he's building. I'm the Elohim of your fathers. But now that I'm talking to you, I am the one that has the title and the authority and the position, but now I'm personally present. So I don't want you to just say Elohim sent me to tell you that I am who I am, which when he's saying that, he's describing his person. He's describing his position. And what he's saying is, I am the ever-present God. I am the self-existent God. I am the I am. I was, I will be, and I am. I am eternally present. I am eternally present. So what is past for you is future for me. Or what is past for you is present for me. What is future for you is right now. I know it's not right now for you, but what I'm talking to you right now about is your future, which in your perspective is out there. But from my perspective is right here in the conversation. And I'm talking to you about then or about back there. That's where the healing of the Lord can come in, because he's personally present talking to you about what you thought is finished and done in your past, but it's not finished and done. It's never done, because the eternal present one is there to heal you from your past and prepare you for your future. All in a present conversation. I am Jehovah Elohim. So the Elohim of your fathers, he says, now you go tell them the eternal present one. The Hebrew word for that is Haya. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. That's how I pronounce it. The I am that I am. The eternal present one is here. The eternal present one. I love this. I love this. And you see this amazing thing. Then you skip over, since you got your Bible there, looking 4:10. Exodus 4:10. And guys, I'm gonna finish. That's just what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna finish. So if you get finished before I do, see y'all Cracker Barrel in a little bit, okay? But I'm gonna finish because here's why. You need me to finish this. I don't need to finish. I can stop right now and go home because I already know it. I already got it in my heart. You need this. You need this. So Moses, after that whole encounter, Moses, verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, Jehovah. Notice he's no longer saying he's just Elohim. Now he's Jehovah, the personal present one. See, some of you who come to church here would say, hi, Pastor. Hi, Pastor. It's nice to meet you. Those who know me come up, what's up, John? What's up, Pastor John? Because I am personally present being your pastor. And you're not just giving me you're not just addressing me by a title, you're addressing me by the relationship we have. So Moses comes in, and after all this, Moses says to the Lord, says to Jehovah, oh my Lord, and that's Lord, oh my Lord. That's Jehovah Adonai. So now he's added the third step of, you are my master. You are Elohim, who has become, who I now see as Jehovah, Yahweh, the personal present one. And now you are my Adonai. You are my Adonai. Incredible when you look through here. And then I'm not going to read through these or have you turn here, but I just want you to see this in Luke 6. You can go read this later. But Jesus asked two questions that I think are really important. And the first one is in Luke 6. And he's talking to some people, and he says this. This is what he says. This is so cool to me. This is so cool to me. This is what he says. Why do you call me Lord? See, it's written twice, Lord, Lord. But it's not, he didn't say it twice. It's written twice to show you the emphasis and the boldness of he said it once with passion. Why do you call me Lord? And most scholars believe this would be the one that could actually, it could speak to all three of them, actually. Some scholars say this Greek word can speak to all three of them. But he's saying, why do you call me Jehovah? Why do you call me Adonai? Why do you call me Lord? And you do not do the things that I say? See, that's a really good question that we need to consider. Jesus was not asking that question for himself. He knows why. He was asking the question for them to ask themselves that question. So the greatest question you can ask this year for going into 2023, if you want the Elohim, Jehovah, to be your Adonai all year long, then what you need to do is ask yourself this question. Why do I call him Lord, but don't do what he says? You need to sit on that question. And I write out the why do I? Well, because I just get angry, okay? Or because I get hurt, okay? Because I get frustrated. Because I want to escape the pain. It might come down to, honestly, as I've really let this question sit up on me, because I don't want him to be Lord. I want to be Lord. That would reveal you want to go to heaven because he has the authority to get you there, but you don't want relationship with him. So that question, why do you call me Lord, not do what I say? And then he speaks to building a house upon a rock. And then you look over in John, you don't have to look there, but John chapter 6, a whole other question. Jesus was teaching about if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, which was a weird teaching at the time. They didn't understand it, but he was telling them if you don't, you know, he was talking about communion and covenant is what he was talking about. He's saying, if you don't have this kind of relationship with me, you can't be my disciple. And they were offended at it. They were so offended. The disciples were so offended that the different ones of his disciples started leaving. They just got up and started walking out, which would be the equivalent of I'm sitting here teaching, preaching the word about Jehovah Elohim, who was my Adonai. And you're like, I'm done. That's too much. I'm getting up and going to another church. That's what was happening in the moment. And Jesus told them that the words he said, the flesh profits nothing. I'm not talking about fleshly things. The flesh profits nothing. He says, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And he goes on talking to them and he asks them, do you want to leave too? Because here's what happens. If you don't do what he says, if you're living in a condition where you don't do what he says, you kind of start sliding away. That's why I get encouraged when I see people on the front row. Because some of y'all slide to the back, slide to the balcony, slide coming in a little bit late, slide leaving a little bit early, slide 1 week a month, slide another week a month. Next thing we know, we don't see you. And of course, it's always our fault. But we don't see you. And in your life with God, if you're not going to do what he says, it's just a few more minutes and then it's like, you know what? I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. That's the devolving. I'm not going to do what he says. The next thing that's going to happen is I'm going to begin to leave. Now, if you ask me, I'm going to say, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. And even if you have the title relationship because you are truly born again, you have connection to the position through your faith in the resurrected Elohim. Your fellowship and relationship with him is so broken. That's like somebody saying, I'm married. If the goal of your marriage is to not get divorced, you've missed the intention of marriage. Miserable couples who are like, well, I'm not divorced, judging all these divorced people. Because you ain't divorced, but you got a title that you have no relationship to. And that's the worst thing for your kids to grow up in. And so the thing is to come back to that position and to answer this question, to answer this thing of why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? And worship team, go ahead and come on up. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? And then the second thing begins to be this. Why or do you want to leave also? And I love Peter's answer to this. If you read it, Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? Lord, Jehovah, you have the words of eternal life. So the real question is, why do you call him Lord, but you don't do what he says? Why? And then some of you, do you really want to go away? And here's how you can ask that. If I could not be punished for any of my sin, if I could get away with it and not be punished or judged, would you still want to go do the sinful thing? If you're not doing the sinful thing that you want to do, but you're fearful of the position and authority of the one who sits on the judgment throne, who is Elohim and has the authority to judge you. If you're not sinning because you're fearful of the judgment, you have missed the entirety of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is what is better than sin. The relationship is greater than keeping a rule. He is my life. So I don't sin, not because I'm going to get judged or punished, but I don't want to walk in that sinful life because I now have Jehovah Elohim, who is my Adonai. Some of you, addiction has been your Adonai. Some of you, lust and pornography has been your Adonai. Some of you, you have been your own Adonai. And I just sense the Lord, for me and for this church family, walking in all that He is going into this year, and this is why I took the extra time today to do it, because it's beginning of the year, you have to decide, is He your Adonai, Jehovah Elohim? Do you want to go away too? Are you willing to do what he says? Answering that question, coming before the Holy Spirit, answering that question, why do I not do what you say? What are the things? And you identify it. And then bring them back to Adonai, Jehovah, Elohim. And say, Lord, I don't want anger to separate me from you anymore. I don't want this, that, or anything else to separate me from you anymore. I don't want a title and a position of a partnership that has no relationship. I want the ever-present one, ever-presently fulfilling his, put it this way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah is my shepherd. Meaning he is personally present in stock. I have no lack because he has no lack. So as we go into this time of worship, this is what I'd like to do. I asked you to be honest and courageous earlier, and I want you to be so again. I don't want you to worry about another soul in this room. If you're here and you would say, Pastor John, I want to be really transparent and really honest. I've been living separated from God. I believe in God, but man, I've been slipping. And today is a wake-up call for me to reestablish my Adonai to Jehovah, who is Elohim. And last year, this year is not going to be like last year. Because I'm going to put him first and make a fresh commitment that has to be walked out every single day. Just because you do it here doesn't mean, you know, it's like somebody getting married and say, well, I said I do, babe, 10 years ago. You got to walk it out. But today, you know, you want to respond. The best response in your heart would be, Pastor, you've been talking to me all service long. And I need to affirm that. If that's you, I want you to get up, stand up here right in front of me. I don't care who you are. And what's going to happen in just a few minutes as we start worshiping. No, face me. I want you to face me. As we start worshiping, there's going to be a prayer team. After we pray over them, prayer team will come up here, and there'll be people that will be here that would love to pray for you. They'll pray healing over you. If you need to give your life to Jesus, they'll come, and you can come and pray about anything, any need you have whatsoever, you can come pray. But right now, I want the people up here. I don't care who you are. I want the people up here who are saying, I needed to hear this. I have been slipping and struggling, and I needed that reminder to come back and say, Adonai, Jehovah, or really Jehovah Elohim is my Adonai. He's not just my Savior keeping me from hell. He is my Lord. Let me give you my honest interpretation of what's happening right now. Many of y'all are punking out. I don't want you to move with any pressure from me, but I want to make it really clear. This is the kind of stuff the Lord's calling out in your life. Of being half-hearted, half-truthful, half-transparent, when in the presence of the Lord, the leadership of the Lord in your life is inviting you and you're half-hearted. I'll do it later. That's the kind of junk that fat, sassy American Christians who are trying to save their country and possibly lose the kingdom. When the only salvation this country has is the kingdom. But it's the kingdom not operating in the White House. It's the kingdom operating in your house. That's what's going to save this country. So is there anybody who says, dang, Pastor, you talking about me now? You need to come up here. I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, we're going to go into worship. And after everyone, after this prayer, the prayer team is going to come up and they'll be here to minister for anything you have need of whatsoever. If you need to give your life to Christ, you come back up to one of the prayer team members. If you need to have prayer for anything whatsoever, you just come and receive in a minute. So open your hands and hearts before the Lord. And those who are up here, just make this your confession. Put your heart and focus on the Lord God. Put your heart and focus on the Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. The question is He your Lord? Is He your Lord? So in your own way, silently or out loud in your own heart, confess whatever you need to confess, whatever sin, whatever belief, whatever confession you need to make. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I turn from this. Whatever it is, you turn from it. And you freshly just surrender yourself to Him. Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I turn from what I was doing. I turn from all the other Adonais. I turn from all the other lords. And I say to you today, this is what you need to say to Him. I say to you today, Jehovah, Elohim, you are my Adonai. You are the Lord of my life. I surrender to you. I surrender to you all of me, all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength. Lord, you reign. Let this be your prayer. Lord, you reign, and I bow my life to you. I bow my heart to you. Forgive me for wandering. Forgive me for being aloof. Forgive me for not focusing. God, I come to you and I surrender myself, my business, my job, my family, all that I have, all that I own. I surrender it to you. God, my past, my future, my present, I come to you. You are Adonai of all. And I come to you, God, and I yield my life to you. I yield my life to you. Come rule and reign in me. Come live your life in me. I surrender to you. I believe Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And I thank you for my relationship with you. Save me and be the Lord of my life. Lead me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I'll serve you all the days of my life.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.